Deacon Gavin will come forth now and bring forth the gospel of the grace of God. At this time, let's say amen for Deacon Howard Gavin. Amen. As he comes forth now with the word of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm remiss, and I ask your forgiveness, for I didn't have more of the page that I'm going to, from the document, that I'm going to be ministering according to. But it's not the first time I'll have to ask your forgiveness. So I'm going to ask the ushers if they would pass out those few that I did have here. And where you see adult couples sitting together, see if you can stretch a few to them. Now, if you don't receive one, and some of you won't, fear not, because I'm only going to read a short portion from the document, page 2, of God's sovereignty in election to salvation. Amen. So if there's not enough to get to you, don't worry. I'm going to be mostly in the scriptures. Amen. But certainly in relation to the document, God's sovereignty in election to salvation. Amen. Amen. All right, let us have a word of prayer before we go into the message for today. Now, righteous and eternal God, our Father, Lord, we thank you again for this great gathering of your people. We thank you, Lord, for your presence, your enablement, Lord, we pray, in abundance. And we pray, Lord, for your people, not just here, but abroad, that you would bless and enlighten our minds, O God, to that truth that was previously spoken of, the mystery, our message, our truth, for the grace dispensation for the body of Christ. Lord God, the church in this dispensation. Lord, we ask your blessing on not only your people here, but abroad and everywhere, and on our pastor, Lord God, as he rests and recuperates, on his family, Lord, that they be encouraged as well. Lead and guide us all, O God, my Savior, in trust and confidence in you. Bless us in this hour, O God, as we go forward, according to that which you have eternally, my God, designated this moment,
amen,
this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to turn to our primary scriptures with me, Ephesians chapter 1. I'm still intruding, Elder Sister Liverman. And Sister Liverman's favorite text. Hallelujah. I know it's for all of us, but I'm still intruding into her favorite text. Praise be God. Praise be God. Ephesians chapter 1, our context is verses 1 through 8. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Elder Liverman is our designated reader. Amen. We're going to ask Elder to read all 8 verses of our context. And then we're going to minister in relation to the document, God's Sovereignty in Election to Salvation. Elder, if you have it, you may begin reading. And from the King James Version would be all right.
Ephesians chapter 1,
mm-hmm,
beginning with the first verse.
Yes.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm,
by the will of God,
by God's will,
to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2, grace be to you,
grace
and peace.
To you and peace. We are in the grace dispensation. Grace is our directives, not law. If you don't do this, you'd be in trouble with God. It starts with grace. It's grace all through, and it culminates in grace when we are out of here. Grace, no merit, none. God's grace. All right, grace and peace, and notice where it's from. From where, Elder?
From God our Father.
From God our Father. Let me say something about that. All of us in here had a father or a progenitor, one by whom we came through the flesh, procreation. That is manifestation. That does not continue. But God is our eternal spiritual father according to our eternal spirit. Everything here is temporary. Sister Leah will not be my biological daughter in the heavenlies in Christ. There will be a greater relationship beyond our present comprehension. There will be love and peace and unity and caring and rejoicing beyond comprehension. Read, Ella.
And from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Even our Lord Jesus Christ, read.
Blessed be the God and Father
mm-hmm.
of our Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenlies in Christ.
Now, according to our eternal existence, which is not fleshly, I'll be 65 years old this December 14th. That can't go on indefinitely. It will not go on indefinitely. This flesh was not meant to be forever. But our eternal abode or existence in Christ is forever.
Yes.
And it is not physical. Our eternal existence is not physical, it's spiritual. We were spirit first in the body of Christ, and we are manifested in the flesh for testimony of what the Lord has purposed, what he has willed. Spirit.
Amen.
First. So if our eternal and our actual existence is spiritual, no wonder our primary blessings are also in the realm, in the vein of what our existence is, spiritual. Yes, God blesses us with cars and homes and resources and the like, family and friends and the like, but it's all temporary. We were not put here to stay. We were not put here to enjoy one another and families and friends forever. We have a greater, a higher, a more enduring calling as members of Christ's body. I know that in some relationships and the like, this seems like the ultimate. It is not. It is not. If you think this is wonderful, wait until your consciousness are manifested where you actually are right now. We couldn't stand it in these bodies. It's so glorious. We couldn't take it. We couldn't endure it. We couldn't stand the joy. Ella, I'm going to try with small comment to let you finish this context. According as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world or before creation, what?
That we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
That we... being holy, that's a present infinitive, that we being holy and without blame. I know folk have blamed you in your lifetime for a lot of things, but in our eternal essence, we are without blame because Jesus bore it all. Jesus bore it all. We are created in him, spiritually first. All right, and in love. Read, Ella.
Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children.
Having before, everything was done in God's decree. Everything in creation or existence was preordained. Amen, according to God's decree. Predestinated us unto adoption of children.
By Jesus Christ to himself.
To himself. Our eternal heavenly Father, yes?
According to the good pleasure of his will.
And?
Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace.
No merit. Before time, before we could be good or anything similar to good in the flesh. Before we could think we were keeping commandments, I said think we were keeping commandments. But we always, as we said in Sunday school, according to God's word, Romans 3:23, we always fall short of God's glory. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he what?
Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
Those are perfect tenses and aorist indicatives. Perfect tense is a completed action with ongoing results. It didn't stop when you blew your stack at somebody. It didn't stop. It didn't diminish. Our eternal acceptance in God did not end when our temper got out of hand. Thank God. Hallelujah. He has made us accepted eternally in the beloved. Verse 7.
In whom we have redemption through his blood.
Redemption through Christ's blood. Redemption, release of payment of a ransom. Let me tell you why it's redemption. Redemption means to buy back. In the one decree of God. All things that exist were formed into existence or brought into existence in the one decree, referencing Hebrews 11:3. All things were brought into existence. Redemption is because in that one decree we were ordained a saint in the body of Christ, for by one spirit were aorist tense completed, were always completed, never not completed in eternity, were baptized spiritually, we weren't fleshly yet, baptized into one body, but in the same decree, Romans 3:23 said, for all sin, aorist indicative, a past completed fact, is always completed, and it's a fact. A fact is a thing done. It was always done.
Yeah.
All sin.
Amen.
But the sin does not lie in the body of Christ where we actually abide. God created time and placed us in bodies when he decided we would come about in time, in the flesh, in procreation, and we having been assigned a sin nature.
Amen.
That's why sometimes you can't seem to get it together. That's why sometimes it seems like folk have gotten on your last nerve. That's why sometimes you try to hold it, you try to hold it, and all of a sudden you have an oops sale. It slips out. Your indignation, your ire against someone. Sin abides in the flesh only, not in our eternal existence, in our eternal essence, in the body of Christ. Sin was assigned to the flesh. And when the flesh is gone, There goes the sin. Sin is manifested in the flesh, not where we actually abide in the body of Christ. Not. Last verse, Elder.
Verse 8. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and
all
prudence.
Wisdom, he has superabounded toward us. That's also an aorist indicative. Nothing is Johnny come lately or just being created or decreed. Everything is finished. God created, as we say in Sunday school, according to his word, God created time, the medium of time. It's a creation, you know. It's not eternity. It's a creation God created for testimony only. Only. Testimony is evidence. Evidence of what? Evidence of God, what God has purposed. Evidence of what God has willed according or concerning all creation, visible and invisible. Some of us deal with invisible to the eye entities in our work, in our study, and the like. God has created it all. So when scientists find out or discover that which was formerly not known, it was there, it just was not manifested. Everything that is, God has already created it and finished it, including our salvation. Amen. You're not going to lose anything. Amen. Nothing. Amen. We are saved, not being saved,
Amen.
According to our eternal estate. Amen. We are having been saved. You mean as bad as I am? As worthless as I feel sometimes? Yes, especially you too. Hallelujah. Now to our document, God's sovereignty in election to salvation. I want to continue in focusing with some predominancy on election. Election, choosing, choice. God's sovereignty. In election. I'm just going to go through the title and then I will go to the document that those have that have been passed out to you, which is page 2. God's sovereignty. It means God's ultimate and supreme and absolute power and or authority. God is absolute in power. He has the absolute right to do with that which is his, which is everything in existence, everything, the visible and the invisible. It's God's absolute right to do with that which he has brought into existence. On a lesser scale, don't we wear what we want to wear when we want to wear it? Don't we give away that which we want to give away? That don't we discard that which we have deemed useless? God created both the elect, as we tried to bring out in our last time before you, and he also brought into existence the non-elect, that there may be seen a difference, or manifested a difference. A difference. There's a difference in us and the world. There's a difference in the children of God. I know we don't act like it all the time. Maybe sometime, most of the time. But there is a difference in the elect and the non-elect.
I hear you.
Hallelujah. They were created to that end, that the difference may be shown and who would get the greater glory. Thank you, Lord, that I am chosen. Thank you, Lord, that I belong to you. Thank you, Lord, that I am not discarded. Thank you, Lord, that you care about me eternally.
Yes.
Even though I definitely, absolutely, indubitably do not deserve it. God's sovereignty in election. Election is the act or instance of choosing. Now, I just read. For we were chosen in him. I didn't write that. We were, aorist indicative, chosen in him before creation or the foundation of the world. So where's the good works? God have created us unto good works that we might walk in them. We are a product of God. When he overrules this, we walk in works good.
Amen.
If we had it together all the time, if we thought that we were living circumspectly all the time, and we see others that are stumbling, we would be an absolute mess. You couldn't make a hat big enough to get over our head. Sometimes God overrules our depravity for his purpose, and sometimes he does not overrule it for his purpose. That we may know that it's not of us, it's of him. It's of him. Brothers and sisters, I used to put everybody in hell. If you blinked wrong, quick, very judgmental. But there's one special person. I could not bring myself to put that fella in hell. I just couldn't do it. I thought that I held myself. Oops, I told you who he was. Okay. Election to salvation. Salvation is our eternal, not temporary, not 100 years or even 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000 years. Eternal relationship or sonship position in Christ and to God. Salvation also means deliverance from sin and its ruin or its consequences. We have been delivered from sin's ruin and consequences. You say, because of me. That's temporary. That's in God's process and his purpose as he took you through that for his eternal glory. The more trouble we have, the more we're going to praise him when the real deal comes into conscious existence. You notice I didn't say just existence. I said conscious existence. Our eternal estate already is. We are already having been glorified. But we are not yet consciously or have been consciously made aware of it. We're still dealing with the boss. We're still dealing with the debt. We're still dealing with the political strata. We're still dealing with the tiredness and don't want to get up and go to work. We're still dealing with keeping our weight down and in proportion and the like. We're still dealing with those things which we are in physical, earthly consciousness aware of.
Amen.
But when these bodies go, so will earthly, physical consciousness go with it. And then all that will be left, I got to bring it out, Sunday school, all that will be left is what always was. It just wasn't in manifestation. Eternal spiritual consciousness. Now let me break this down a little bit more. When the Apostle Paul, the tables were turned on him. As he persecuted Christians, he was persecuted. He was chased, hounded, sought, ran down, hunted. They chased him from one city to the next, and they caught up with him. Then they drug him outside the city of Lystra and stoned him, as they thought, to death. So they left. I can't say what I said in Bible class. They left stoning him. They left stoning him. And while he was knocked unconscious, un in the Greek means not, not. He was not unconscious. He was not conscious of his physical surroundings. Some of you in the medical field, you all know more about this than me. He was not aware of his physical surroundings. He was unconscious, not conscious. Conscious meaning knowing, and being aware. He was not, however, as he testifies in the second chapter of 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, he testifies, I knew a man about 14 years ago, but in this body, out of the body, I cannot tell. He was caught up to the third heavens, and he heard things that were unutterable. Not unlawful, the word nomos is not there. It was unutterable. He had no human physical vernacular to explain what he had actually seen and witnessed. While he was unconscious to physicality, or according to his bodily, earthly presence, he was very conscious to spirituality. He said, I was caught up to the third heavens. And not only was I caught up, I heard things. What I say conscious mean knowing and aware. He was not knowing in physicality, but he was very aware and knowing where he was in spirituality. And that's the way you and I will be. We won't miss a beat. We won't miss a thing. And guaranteed, we will not miss our physical existence. No matter how much money we have, how many friends, how much real estate, how much fun, we will not miss a thing. Otherwise, it would not be glorious, as the Bible tells us. It is glorious. Peace is peace stop, piecemeal, as God give us peace on the earth. But in all of Paul's epistles, with the exception of Hebrews, in the first chapter at least, we'll find grace and peace from. The only place it can be from is from God. We don't have no peace in America. We don't have no peace in our spirit sometime in families. We don't have no peace in the world. Every time something subsides, some mess jump up. This is not the arena for our peace or for peace, period. Pastor is taught from Luke, say, peace on earth, goodwill. That has to be exegeted. Men of goodwill. All right. Reading from the second page of the document. Reading. I'm starting at the lower portion of paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4. Of the fourth paragraph, I'm starting at the lower portion of it, where it says the use of the aorist tense. The beginning of this paragraph says, now as we move into the body of the context. Well, I drop down with me about 10 lines, and you'll see the use of the aorist tense. Reading, the use of the aorist tense. Aorist tense, they say in the technical definition, undefined action, but not necessarily speaking of the time of it. Well, if it's action, it had to have a point of acting. So the aorist tense is a completed action. The use of the aorist tense in the grammar indicates that at a given point in the past, God completed the act of selecting and choosing those he designated to exercise faith in Jesus Christ in the sphere of time. The only way you come to believe on Jesus Christ is that God previously predetermined, decreed that you would believe. Need I go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 29? For it hath been given, aorist tense again, completed action. It was always decreed and in existence, but it had not manifested until the creation of time, which is itself a manifestation and testimony, and then down through the ages from Adam and Noah and Abraham and Moses and the Israelites and all the way down to the apostles and the dark ages and the reconstruction and all the way down here. It was manifested unto us when we came on the scene. Our believing was manifested. Amen. We were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. But our believing, or the manifestation of it, came about in time, in our human, I'll use the word existence, our temporary existence. For we were chosen in Him, again, before the foundation of the world, being holy. And He had blessed us with each and every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. The use of the aorist tense in grammar indicates that, again, that at a given point in the past, God completed. God is not picking out people to save. Everyone that manifests salvation have been designated so in eternity by decree. Nothing is just coming about. No accident, what we call accident, no incident, nothing. No trauma, no trouble, no joy, no rejoicing. Nothing is just coming about. Everything was spoken into existence according to God's word, and especially Hebrews 11 and 3. That is why, again, as I said, and look like I'm going to continually say in my messages, creation. Never creating. Never, ever creating. Creation. That which already is. Everything that is already is. In existence. By God's decree. So He designated some to exercise faith in Jesus Christ in the sphere of time. I said some, because all whom He chose before the foundation of the world, before the creation of time, and before we came along in the 19th and 20th century, God chose some that will not manifest faith or believing. The infant that was chosen before creation. The mentally incompetent that were chosen before creation.
Oh, yes.
The aborted child or the infant that dies in infant death were chosen before creation.
Amen.
They will not manifest.
Amen.
Believing or the like.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have to. All of us were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, before creation. And that's God's word. I'm going to read it again, because this message is going out throughout the earth. I may not get to where I'm trying to go. According as He chose us in Him before the foundation or creation of the world, that we, being holy, that's a present infinitive, being holy, and being without blame. I don't care who heap blame upon you. God is the ultimate supreme authority. And His word to us says that we are without blame before the foundation of the world. And the best place in existence before Him. Or it's the same as being in the body of Christ. It's synonymous with that. Before Him, in love. In love. Did I say in love? In love. God is never angry at His elect. Paul said, I finished my course. I kept the faith. Your lives, our lives, my life, they have been coursed.
Yes.
The point of believing, if that is appointed unto us. The point of assessing knowledge of our gospel, if that has been assessed unto us. Reading again, we reference 2 Timothy 2 and 10. The use of the middle voice infers that God sovereignly selected some, not all, to execute his purpose involving the fulfillment of his desire. The middle voice means that the subject is in some way acting upon himself or acting regarding himself. That is the middle voice. That the subject is in some way acting upon himself or acting regarding himself. I woke up this morning and got washed up. I'm speaking of when I was acting regarding myself. That is what I did. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Come with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Now I want to bring it out scripturally. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. I'll read this. Reading from the King James Version, therefore, Paul writes, 2 Timothy 2 and 10, therefore, meaning in addition to what has foregone, but in the interest of time, I will not contextualize it. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, Paul writes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, it seems like he's saying that they got to get saved when it says that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. It is actually the witness or the testimony or the enlightenment of their salvation. Remember when? We were chosen in him. Paul wrote the same, these both letters, this one to Timothy and the other one to the Ephesians. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Here he's speaking of the enlightenment. And when he says obtain, don't think that you get saved. We do not get saved. When it's written here in the document of the middle voice, Pastor put that there for purpose. The middle voice is speaking of the fact of the subject in some way working upon himself or regarding himself. And that's why I gave the incident of me getting up this morning and washing up. That was regarding me. This word obtain is in the middle voice. It's an aorist subjunctive. So not only has it been completed in eternity, it's also the middle voice, double clutching it to let us know that we didn't get saved. We didn't go say, give me salvation. Amen. We didn't even ask for it.
Amen.
We were not manifested in the flesh when it was given.
Amen.
Through grace. By God's decree.
Amen.
It's the middle voice. God acted regarding himself. This is what he did. And if it was in eternity, oops, I wasn't here in the flesh.
Amen.
Neither were any that are living in the flesh. Finishing up. So the use of the middle voice infers that God sovereignly selected some, not all, to execute his purpose. All chosen were chosen. All saved were chosen to be saved, or chosen saved. But to execute his purpose involving the fulfillment of his desire. We believe that the context of the succeeding verses, verse 5 and 6, which we previously read in Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, substantiates this view. Now, I said I wanted to highlight, and I'm going to have to do it quick. Turn with me to Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans, the 10th chapter. I'm going to try my bestest to go through this. Romans, but I make no apologies because the length that I've taken thus far, it had to be decreed, otherwise I couldn't have done it. So I'm not going to fret. God has coursed everything.
Amen.
Our intentions, if it doesn't meet up with God's will, is not going to happen.
Amen.
Ella, begin reading at verse 5 of the 10th chapter of Romans. And Elder, this time, if you have the interlineal, do you have the interlineal before you, Elder?
Yes.
All right. Elder, I want you to read from the interlineal. Romans, 10th chapter, beginning at the 5th verse.
Romans chapter 10, beginning with the 5th verse in the interlinear Greek text.
All right.
For Moses writes,
mm-hmm.
The righteousness of law,
mm-hmm.
The doing man will live by it.
The doing man will live by it. In the righteousness of law, but he's actually speaking, Moses was speaking of the law. But it does not have the definite article here, but it's still speaking of or inferring the law that was given through Moses to the children of Israel. All right? That the doing man, the law speaks that you must do something to get something. That is the language of that covenant.
Amen.
If you do this,
that's right.
God says, then I'll do that.
Amen.
That's the language of that covenant. Amen. To God's elect. Read Ellen.
Verse 6. But the faith,
of faith
righteousness.
Of faith righteousness.
Thus says,
it says this,
not say in the heart,
don't say in the heart,
of thee, who will ascend into heaven, this is Christ,
to bring down, that is a quote from Deuteronomy 30 and 12, don't say in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. That has already manifested and having already been decreed. It was decreed and Bethlehem was manifestation. Read, Ellen.
Verse 7. Or who will descend
into the abyss?
This is Christ from dead to bring up.
That had already been decreed. Jesus said before they crucified him, if you destroy this temple, in how many days I'll raise it up?
Three.
He spoke what already was in existence. It was decreed. And therefore, don't say who shall descend in the abyss, that is to bring Christ up. That has already been performed by decree. Calvary and the resurrection was manifestation.
Yeah, right.
Not actualization.
Yeah.
It was manifestation. All right. Read, Elder.
Roman. Okay.
If you're in the King James, go ahead and read it.
That was, what verse is that again?
That is starting at verse 8, I believe. Verse 8.
Romans
8. 10, verse 8.
Okay. Romans chapter 10.
Mm-hmm.
I had to pay skip.
Whichever one you have, Elder. King James.
Romans chapter 10, verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
But what saith it?
What? What's it? God's word. God's saying in those quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 12. And now we're getting a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. All right? What says it? God saying God's word to Israel. Read, Ella.
Near thee the word is in the mouth of thee.
All you got to do is go to Deuteronomy 30 and 14 and you will see this. Near thee the word, or nigh thee, even in the mouth of thee, is my word. And what?
And in the heart of thee.
And in the heart of thee. Now, the quote stops there. That what he previously read was a quote from Deuteronomy 30:14. It stops, it ends there in Romans 10 and verse 8. What are the next words illumined?
This,
Paul writes. This, what?
This is.
Not that. This is. The quote stopped at in thy heart, or the heart of thee. Now Paul says, this is, what, elder?
The word of faith.
The word that belong, and the better word here is not faith, but faithfulness. Now, if you got a soul design study Bible, and you see that this is a noun, yes, faithfulness is also a noun. But he's getting ready to speak about the word now. He gave the quote from the words then, but he's now speaking regarding the word now. Faithfulness is also a noun. It would be the better word here because he's not speaking about our faith. He's not preaching our faith. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, being holy then. All right. This is what, elder?
Which we proclaim.
This is the word which we proclaim. You know Paul wasn't proclaiming back in Deuteronomy that which was there. Paul is proclaiming the mystery, the gospel of the grace of God. So, as many denominations focus on the word of faith, the word belongs to faithfulness. Just like God gave them his saying, his word, in the book of Deuteronomy, the word Paul is preaching is the word of faithfulness. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I believe, 1:23, for we preach Christ and him crucified. We're not preaching your faith. We preach Christ and him crucified. Unto the Jews are stumbling blocks, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto us that are saved, Christ the wisdom of God,
amen,
the power of God.
Amen. Thank God. Amen.
So,
amen.
What we have here is what we call an analogous event here. Analogous, he has spoken of that in Deuteronomy. And now he's speaking of this is the word of faithfulness that we preach. Analogous is better pronunciation. Forgive me. Analogous means comparable in certain respects. He used the quote from Deuteronomy to compare the word now. Comparable in certain respects. It also means performing a similar function. Or words performing a similar function, but having differences. Two words. Now and in the present. They're analogous. They have differences of pronunciation, but they're referring to the same thing, or the word of God is being referred to, or the saying of God is being referred to in Deuteronomy, and this is the saying of God which Paul said, we preach. They were in different, they had a different constituency in Deuteronomy. They had the children of Israel. They had a different covenant. The covenant there was law. The covenant here is grace.
Amen.
And they were in a different dispensation. They were in the dispensation of law, the house rule, the rule, the administration was law. If you do this, I'll do that, but here is grace, no merit.
Amen. Amen.
Now, this is the word of faithfulness that we preach, and I got to be on warp speed now. Elder, read verse 9.
Verse 9.
This is where saints of God go. Notice what I said, children of God, saints of God. Not the world. God's people go here to to try to prove that you got to get saved by doing something. No, you don't. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, being holy or separated at the time of the choosing. The choice is what separated us. Read Ella.
Verse 9, because if thou confess with the mouth.
I got to bring this out. If thou may confess, having confessed. The saints just leave it as just that, face value. If you confess, confession. No. You're not going to confess unless God has decreed that you confess. This is an error subjunctive. Everybody will not confess. The mentally incompetent, the babe, the ones that haven't heard and been churched. They may not. They won't confess. If you may confess, error subjunctive. Having confessed, the subjunctive mood is a probability. Those whom God has decreed to confess. Amen. Read Ella. With thy mouth.
With thy mouth the Lord Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And believeth in the heart
and
of thee.
This is where they bring up the word of faith. Your faith is what get you in and get you the goodies. Is not your faith. That's why I brought that out. The word of faithfulness is Christ's faithfulness.
Yes. Amen.
That we preach, Paul said. We don't preach the saints' faith. Sometimes we're up in it, sometimes we're down on it. And shalt believe. Aorist subjunctive again. And guess what voice is in the passive voice? We are passive. God had to decree it and perform it. Aorist subjunctive. God decreed that some would confess. And we had nothing to do with it. That's what the passive voice is there to back up the aorist tense.
That God him raised. From dead. Thou wilt be saved.
Thou wilt be saved. That's an indicative future. A future fact. Now, how can you have a future fact? A fact is a thing that's done. Hey, don't take my word for it. Look it up. Look up the Old English meaning of fact. Thing that's done. It was done, and the error is indicative future of fact. It was done in the eternal decree. Your confessing and believing is manifestation of what was already eternally decreed. Read Ella.
For with heart believes to righteousness.
Man believeth to righteousness.
And with mouth.
That is doing that which is just and right. Okay. And with mouth.
Confesses to salvation.
But it has to already have been decreed concerning you. The aorist subjunctive in the previous verse. Aorist tense, completed action in eternity. Subjunctive mood, probability. Probability is who will manifest that confession in time. Everybody won't. The babe, the aborted, the mentally incompetent, and those that just haven't heard. Read out.
For says the scripture. Everyone believing on him.
Thank God.
Will not be put to shame.
Don't believe that whosoever. You have to be ordained or decreed or chosen or selected or elected eternally in God's decree. Everybody don't just up and believe. They cannot. Amen. Believing is a gift from God.
Amen.
It has to be enacted of God. You cannot believe on your own.
That's right.
I don't care how many of your cousins are saved.
I don't
see why he ain't saved. All his family said, give me a break.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Many times God choose many in families, but not all the time. Read, Elder.
For there is no difference of Jew, both and of Greek. The same Lord of all is rich to all the calling on him.
Calling on him passive voice. God has to enable us to call on him. You think I've been calling on the Lord all my life? Give me a break. I was calling on the bartender the early part of it. I'm going to stop there so you can close your ears. All right. Verse 13. Let's finish.
Verse 13.
Yes.
Everyone, whosoever.
It has to be given to you.
For whoever calls on the name of Lord.
Again, aorist subjunctive, may call, having called. It has to be decreed of God and you his elect, or you his chosen, or he selected you unto salvation, eternal salvation. Not just when you walk in pretty straight and pretty good. No. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
If Sister Leah go off on a vacation and join some children that are vigilanting against their parents and say, that old crazy old man of mine, I denounce him. Does that make her not my child? Same thing, even more so in God. Finish that verse, Elder, and I'll take my seat. Whosoever may call, having called, it have to be decreed unto you to call upon the name of the Lord. What?
Calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Future indicative, or indicative is a fact, a thing that's done. Future indicative. Future is the manifestation of it. It's the us-seeing itness of it. The fact, a thing done, is the decree of it in God's decree. Amen. God bless you, saints. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. There is no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. And remember, as always, you can't be good enough, do enough, say enough, think enough to merit salvation. We were saved by grace before we were placed in these bodies. God bless you.